Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
So we're going to be looking at the book of Mark today. As many of you know, we're spending the summer looking at the miracles of Jesus in the book of Mark. And we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 5. And there's a lot of things that we learned when we started having church outdoors. And one of the things I learned is that I need big paper clips in my Bible so that the pages don't fly around all over the place. So I was able to remember to do that this morning. But Mark chapter 5, and then we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 34 today. And last week, if you were with us, you'll remember that we looked at the scene in the synagogue where Jesus heals the man with the crippled hand. And our focus last week was on cultivating a heart that welcomes the work of Jesus in our lives, into every area of our lives. And we saw how this man with the crippled hand, he demonstrated humility, but he also demonstrated courage as Jesus, right there in the synagogue, knew that he was going to rock the boat among the Pharisees by healing on the Sabbath. And we talked about how this man welcomed the work of Jesus. But we also learned from the Pharisees how they had hardened hearts toward the work of Jesus. And remember how that miracle ended. Rather than celebrating the healing that Jesus brought, what did they do? It says that they went out and plotted together how they might destroy Jesus. They were not welcoming the work of Jesus. They were hardening their hearts to what was good. They were puffed up in their pride and in their self-righteousness. And what Jesus did in that moment, he exposed what was in their hearts. And we were challenged last week as we thought about that. And I have to admit and confess this morning that sometimes I end up preaching to myself as we think about, you know, having a hardened heart and, you know, am I open to the work of Jesus and how he wants to work in my life and change things in my life. And as I was meditating on even that message from last week, throughout this week, God exposed different things in my life of selfish motives that I have, of ways that my heart is hardened to how God wants to work in me. Maybe critical eyes like the Pharisees had. Remember that they were always eyeing Jesus, trying to catch him doing something wrong. And there's something sometimes in our human heart that comes out that is resistant to the good things of God, isn't it? But may we be people that are open and willing to receive what Jesus wants to do in us. And I'm going to assume today that because you're here, that you are open to the work of Jesus. And I especially think of the students that are heading off to the Fly Convention. I'm going to assume, in fact, I'm just going to go out on a limb here today and say that I know for a fact that the reason that they're going out to Estes Park is not to just be in the beauty of the Rocky Mountains or to show everyone up on the volleyball court coming up this week. I hear that's in the works. Or to get away from their parents for the week. I know these girls, and I know that they want to experience the work of Jesus as they spend an entire week worshiping and sitting under the powerful teaching of God's word and thinking about where they're going to be. And the theme for this week, it's called Restored. And it's very fitting. They had chosen this theme 4 years ago, but then had to postpone the last Fly Convention 2 years ago because of COVID. And God knew what he was doing in that. Just pretty cool that they had chosen the theme Restored. And so the Fly Convention is restored, but more importantly, the theme being about how we look forward to the day when all things are going to be restored, all things made new. And it's taken from Revelation 21:5. It says, "And he who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And the promise that we have as believers is that one day everything will be restored. We will experience true rest. We will experience true peace, a peace that we cannot find here on this earth. And I see some of you nodding because you are looking forward to that day. And I think we tend to, as human beings, as we get older, we look more and more to that day. You know, that day that we're going to have a new body. I'll be honest, and I won't mention any names, but I've heard several people, even within our own congregation in the last several months, like, I can't wait for the day that I get my new body, right? We look forward to that. We're seeking that rest. We're seeking that wholeness. We're seeking that restoration, and we look everywhere in the world here to find it. Our world is constantly searching for it. Christy and I just this past week came across a show on Discovery Plus. I think it's called like Hawaii Hunters or House Hunters in Hawaii or something like that. And it's just a simple show of real estate in Hawaii, these couples that are moving from the mainland over to Hawaii and looking for their home. And it's interesting as we've watched some of these episodes to hear the common themes. And they'll say things, you know, we're just looking for a time in our lives now to put our feet up, to rest, just to enjoy this paradise in our world that we call Hawaii. And there's nothing wrong with pursuing that or looking for that or longing for it. But what it shows me and affirms is that everyone in this world is longing for that peace and longing for that restoration, longing for that rest, longing for complete and perfect wholeness. And we look forward to that. We know that one day we will experience it ultimately. But until then, we're all on a journey, aren't we? And as we look at this next miracle in Mark chapter 5, we're going to see that Jesus brings that wholeness. He brings that restoration to our lives. And we're going to see that whoever we are, whatever our background, whatever our leadership status, or however high up in society we might be, or however low in society that we might feel, whoever you are, whatever your background, you can find healing and restoration in Jesus. And we're going to see that as we read here in Mark 5, 21 through 24. It says, "And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live.' And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I touch even his garments, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, "Who touched me?"' And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.'" And so thinking again back to last week, we ended the message about how Jesus invites us to come to him. We looked at Matthew 10, you know, that great invitation that Jesus gives. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. And sometimes that can seem a little bit abstract. What does it mean? What does it look like to come to Jesus? And I want to focus in on that today. That's our focus today. What we learned from this man Jairus who came to Jesus, and what we learned from this woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, what we learned from her about coming to Jesus. And again, we see here in this text two different people, two totally different backgrounds coming to Jesus. And when you think of how people viewed Jesus by now at this point, as we get through the book of Mark, remember, it's just packed with action, and Jesus is going from place to place and healing sicknesses, healing diseases, casting out demons, and he is growing in popularity. And remember that that was not Jesus's goal. He was not there just to wow people or amaze people, but he was there to bring healing and to meet spiritual needs, to meet the deepest needs of every human being's, of each of our hearts. When you think about that, that's why he came. Not just to give physical healing, not just to give physical restoration, but deep spiritual healing. But he was exploding with popularity at the same time. And if you wanted to get to Jesus among this crowd, I want you to imagine this for a second, that there's Jesus and you want access to him. You want to get to him. What's going to go through your mind right away? You know, among all these people, what are you going to be thinking? Okay, I want to get to Jesus. But you know what? What I would be thinking is, what makes me worthy to get to Jesus? You know, there's all these other people here. Who am I that I could have access to him, that I could be healed by him? No doubt we would ask, you know, what makes me worthy to come to Jesus? And it notes here in two different places, remember, how there were great crowds gathered around Jesus. Verse 24 then says, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. This is just saying there are masses of people, people probably shuffling along shoulder to shoulder, just crowds of people. Think Disneyland on like a Saturday afternoon in the summer, right? Just masses of people. And so all of these people, who should get access to Jesus? Well, who comes to Jesus first? Who does it speak about first? It kind of makes sense in a worldly way of thinking, and even in a religious way of thinking, that Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, he gets access to Jesus. He comes to Jesus. And even though most of the other religious leaders by now hated Jesus, Jairus, in humility, actually came to Jesus, and it would kind of make sense that a religious leader, the ruler of the synagogue, could get quick access to Jesus. And I would say, again, from a religious standpoint, if there was anyone worthy, it would be Jairus in that crowd. And not only that, but he was desperate. No one could argue with him that his need was probably the most urgent. Verse 23, it says that he came and he fell at Jesus' feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And I love what verse 24 says. So simply, it says, "And he went with him." So simple and so beautiful that he listens to this man's needs and he goes. But then, as they're going, what happens? Enters another lady on the scene among the crowd. Verse 25 and 26, it says, "And a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had had and was no better, but rather grew worse." So imagine this woman now. Was she worthy to come to Jesus? From a worldly standpoint, and even from a religious standpoint, was she worthy to come to Jesus? It sounds bad enough that she suffered from bleeding for 12 years and she had tried everything and it had only gotten worse. But you know what? That's not even the worst part. Here's the worst part. What did the law say about women like her? And how much the law was taught in the synagogues and how people memorized portions of the law. And think about this. Now, imagine being this woman and hearing this word from the law in Leviticus 15, 25 through 28. How would you feel if you were her, if you were hearing these words? If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she shall continue in uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge, shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean, as in the uncleanness of her menstrual impurity. And whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. Imagine if you're her, if you're reading that or hearing those words. What hopelessness. What desperation. And to think of personally, if you were her, of her unworthiness. And so is she worthy from a worldly and religious standpoint to come to Jesus? Not in the least bit. But you know what? She was the perfect candidate to come to Jesus. And here's what she does. Verse 27 through 28. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." Was she right? She was right. Verse 29, and immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Imagine now what she feels, a restoration, wholeness, healing. But we learn something. We learn something about coming to Jesus. We learn something from her about what that is and what that looks like. And as we continue through this here in just this second half here, I want to focus on three different things that we learn about coming to Jesus. And the first is that we can come to Jesus when we're helpless. Remember, this lady had tried everything. Every doctor, she had tried every remedy in the book. She spent everything that she had to find a cure for her bleeding. Probably had given up hope and everything else, but you know what? She didn't give up complete hope. She heard about Jesus. And no doubt, she thought to herself, maybe him. There's hope. There's hope. But what's the best part about her healing? It's great that she was healed of her bleeding, healed physically. But what we see as we look at these miracles is that Jesus does something so much deeper, so much even more beautiful. Provides a spiritual healing, a spiritual restoration. Because see, she found in Jesus what she would never find in anyone else, in any other doctors or in any other remedy. Because fast forward, if you would, to the last verse in this miracle, verse 34, where Jesus proclaims to her, listen to these words. He says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." She was healed, but she was also healed of her broken heart. And he gives her his peace. And what was it that Jesus said about his peace? John 14, 27, this is what he says to his disciples the night before he goes to the cross. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." And friends, maybe you're here today, or maybe you're watching online here, and maybe you've felt very helpless lately. We are invited by the creator of the universe and the savior of mankind to come to Jesus, to come to him in our helplessness. And even if you don't find the physical healing that you're searching for, or the cure to the problem that you're facing, you can have the peace that Jesus wants to give you. There's a song that's been popular lately called Firm Foundation. And I love what it says. It says, I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, because I've built my life on Jesus, and he's never let me down. Is that your testimony today? That you can come to him in your helplessness, where you're feeling weak, where you're searching for answers, and when it doesn't make sense, and find that peace that makes no sense. We can come to Jesus in our helplessness. But number two, we can come to Jesus when we're desperate. And this woman was desperate. And you know what? I think in our world sees desperation as a bad thing. You know, if you're desperate for a date, or you're desperate for a job, or, desperate for a good grade to just pass college or whatever, it's not seen as a good thing. But you know what? Jesus welcomes desperate people. And this woman was so desperate. How desperate was she? She was so desperate that she thought, even if I just touch his garments, I can be healed. And you know what? Jesus not only welcomes desperate people, but what we see here is that he stops and acknowledges her. You know what Jesus could have done in this crowd as they're all pressing in and he feels this power go out from him? He could have just kept going and thought, okay, I healed another person and just move on. But he stops and he acknowledges her, and he wants everyone to know how he longs to heal desperate people. What does he do? He stops and says, who touched my garments? And the disciples think he's crazy. There's all these people pressing in on you. Why are you even asking that? How are we supposed to know? How would you ever know? But his point in stopping and pausing is to welcome someone who's desperate, who's at the end of themselves, and is searching out in Jesus what they cannot find anywhere else. Are you desperate today? Are you desperate for Jesus? Is that your story? Are you coming to him in your desperation when everything else has failed, to find that peace that only he can give? So that's the second thing. The third thing is that we can come to Jesus not only in our desperation, but when we're unclean. For some crazy reason, and you can probably relate to this in some way, we feel like we need to clean ourselves up to come to Jesus. We've got to put it all together. And again, you know, that's how things are in our world. You know, if we're going out on that first date, or we're going for that job interview, we're putting our best foot forward, we're getting all cleaned up, we're getting all dressed up, we dress to impress. But in the spiritual realm, as we think about our lost souls and our need for Jesus, we can't do that. In fact, any attempt to do that, any attempt to pull it all together, is just living a lie. And this woman, remember, by definition of the law, was unclean. And yet look what she does. Verse 33. She came forward then in fear and trembling, and fell down before him, and what? It says, told him the whole truth. You know what she does when she does this? She comes clean. and her uncleanness. She comes clean. She lays it all out before Jesus and says, yes, Jesus, it was me that touched you. Yes, Jesus, I was desperate. I was at the end of myself. And Jesus, I knew that you could do something for me. I knew that you could heal me. And Jesus, I know I'm unclean. I know that I am utterly undeserving. It's a beautiful thing that she does. And I want to ask you today, as we wrap up, to ponder today and just throughout this week, is what if you told Jesus the whole truth? Is there something you might even be holding back in your pride or not willing to let go of or not willing to admit before Jesus? Are you willing to tell Jesus the whole truth? What if you were totally honest before Jesus? Jesus invites your honesty. And again, in our world, if we're completely honest, we're probably going to lose friends, right? If people see the real us, they might not like us anymore. They might move on to someone else. But the beauty of Jesus is that what he says to helpless people, to desperate people, to unclean people. What he did to this woman who comes to him and who tells him the whole truth. What did he say? This beautiful proclamation, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. What a beautiful gospel statement. Good news, not only to this woman, but to each one of us today. We can also experience that peace and that healing in our hearts and in our souls and be restored. And as we prepare to come forward for communion today, as we come forward and receive what Christ has done for us on the cross, as we remember what he's done, as we take the bread that he said, this is my body which is given for you, as we drink of the wine that he said, this is my blood which is shed for you. We receive what Christ did for us on the cross. We receive everything that he is. And as we come forward, I want to close in prayer here, and I want to give you an opportunity. The scriptures command us as we come forward to allow God to search our hearts and to examine ourselves. And I invite you this morning, just in a time of reflective prayer, to bow right now and come before Jesus and be completely honest before him. Jesus longs to heal your heart. Jesus longs to purify you, to forgive you, cleanse you. The promise in 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so even in this moment right now, just take a moment and tell Jesus about your failures. Maybe it's a failure in how you've treated someone or been treating someone. Maybe it's a failure in not doing something that God's calling you to do. Maybe it's a failure in a relationship with your kids or your spouse. Tell Jesus. Jesus, I acknowledge I've failed. I've fallen short. Tell Jesus today where you feel helpless, like this woman, where you've been searching for answers to something. It's okay to acknowledge it and be completely honest before Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you in this. I need you to rule and reign, even when I don't understand it, even when I'm helpless. Tell Jesus where you've been selfish, where you've been so self-centered, wrapped up in yourself or your appearance or your image, your own comforts or your own pleasures, making those things priority over what he wants to do in you. Jesus invites you today too to tell him about what doesn't make sense to you. I'm sure for this woman, after having bled for 12 years, so much about life didn't make sense, why this happened to her, why this was her story. And maybe there's something part of your story that doesn't make sense to you. Come to Jesus and be honest. Jesus, I need you in this. It doesn't make sense to me, but Jesus, I trust you. And we all come before Jesus and we tell Jesus, we're honest about what we deserve. Jesus, we deserve nothing but condemnation and punishment because of our sin, because of our failures, because we have fallen short of your glory. We deserve eternal separation from you in hell. But come to Jesus and receive his grace and his forgiveness. Receive that promise that he makes us new. If anyone calls upon Jesus, he is saved. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Receive, even today, the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Now, as we about to come forward for communion, hear this gracious invitation that Jesus gives. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Hear this promise, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And remember these words of Jesus. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.